From the KEI Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings has a challenger for his seat in next year's municipal election. More on that in a few minutes. We'll start with Southern Methodist University. Today, the U.S. Department of Education announced the university violated Title IX, which bars gender discrimination in federally funded education programs or activities. Since 2011, the agency received three complaints alleging SMU did not promptly or equitably respond to reports of sexual harassment and/or sexual assault. The university says it's committed to a safe and supportive campus environment. They've agreed to track harassment reports and resolutions, improve staff training, and develop better procedures with campus police. About 90 other schools named this year by the Education Department still face Title IX reviews. Now to local politics. Today, attorney Marcos Ronquillo announced his plans to challenge Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings in the May 2015 municipal election. KERA's Bill Siebel reports.
Ask Marcos Ronquillo why he's running, and his answer is simple.
I know I can make a difference.
Ronquillo says he wants to fix some of Dallas's problems that he says are now being ignored or overlooked by the current administration. For example, the mayor supports the Trinity Toll Road that will provide greater mobility, but also access to parks. Ronquillo rejects the toll road.
Why are we talking about an expensive toll road that's driving right through Trinity River Park when we need to talk about public infrastructure that'll strengthen neighborhoods, improve our schools, and enhance the quality of life?
That's why Ronquillo announced his candidacy next to a pothole on Samuel Boulevard. The former president of the Dallas Mexican American Bar Association and past KERA board member, Ronquillo says he's a nonpartisan consensus builder. He knows his odds of beating popular, well-funded Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings are long. But Southern Methodist University political science professor Cal Gilson isn't surprised by Ronquillo's run.
Lots of candidates might run in order to raise issues, even knowing that they're not going to win, just to be sure that in the debates and in the coverage, those issues are front and center.
Another of those issues for Ronquillo and Rawlings is education. The mayor has taken a big picture approach, backing Superintendent Mike Miles and the Home Rule Charter effort. Both have proved controversial. Ronquillo's approach?
I would take a more bottom-up type perspective. I think we need to start working with our parents, and we need to start working with our principals and our teachers, and having tried desegregation cases, kind of like know what it takes to build neighborhood schools from the ground up.
SMU's Cal Gilson says even if this election goes as most predict, Ronquillo's presence may help focus the race.
There are groups in the city that want to hear in-depth discussion of public issues from infrastructure, roads, water, to the Trinity River, to education, that Mayor Rawlings will talk about, but that he might not debate unless he's confronted with someone who takes an alternative position.
Ronquillo says his campaign will be well-funded. Gilson says no matter how much money he raises, Rawlings will have more. In response to Ronquillo's candidacy, the mayor's campaign said Marcos Ronquillo has been a great citizen and civic leader, and the mayor's looking forward to an issues-focused campaign where voters of Dallas get to choose. The election is May 9th of next year. Bill Siebel, KERA News.
Last fall, KERA launched a series called One Crisis Away, focusing on the issue of asset poverty in North Texas. We profiled four families on the financial edge, and over the next few weeks, we'll check in with all of them. Shanique and J.C. Dory still live in the Fort Worth suburb of White Settlement with their two kids, and they have the same jobs. Still, a lot has changed for this family of four. As KERA's Courtney Collins reports, it's been a year of struggles and triumphs.
Ducks on the pond, cooks in the kitchen, Shanique Dory in the classroom.
Did you see I didn't give you the answer? You see you failed it? High five.
Some people were meant to teach, and it only takes about 5 minutes with Shanique at the whiteboard to figure out she's one of them.
Once we build that foundation, you're going to have some lights that come on. You're going to be like, I get it.
Shanique's day job is a full load of 8th grade English at Benbrook Middle School. Twice a week, she moonlights.
I teach a GED class on Tuesday nights and Saturday mornings at the Community Enrichment Center. The Community Enrichment Center is the program that helped me and my children to get on our feet when we had nothing.
Shanique and the kids were facing homelessness. The nonprofit helped with housing and got Shanique started on her journey to becoming a teacher.
When the opportunity came available to teach, one of the classes here, absolutely, is what I said, sure I will.
And she teaches with her whole heart, moving from student to student with constructive corrections and positivity.
This looks awesome. That's good.
For Shanique, this class is personal. When she was at her lowest with two small children in tow, what saved her was a bachelor's degree.
If it wasn't for my education, no way that I would be where I am now. Someone else in my same position would probably have to start over three or four times.
Even with a college diploma and a solid full-time job, Shanique knows what it means to struggle financially. Earlier this year, her husband JC underwent four separate surgeries.
The first one, he had an issue with his thyroid, and the other three were for kidney stones. So he missed some time off work. Almost 4 months he was off without income.
Shanique says altogether, her family probably lost out on $15,000 when JC was off the job as a truck driver. They survived in true Dory family fashion. They locked down their spending. Shanique has always been a couponer, and during JC's time off, she took things up a notch. Her motto was, I don't want to buy it if it isn't on sale.
I have canned goods. I have cereal. I really try to collect a lot of things that don't expire or the, you know, shelf life is long, like shampoo. I don't know what person needs 32 bottles of shampoo, but I have them.
Keeping up with her stockpile is nothing compared to keeping up with her two kids. Daughter Cynthia is a seventh grader and Shanique's son Jalen is a high school freshman. Cynthia just made the basketball team, and Jalen just made a big change to his extracurriculars. After dislocating his kneecap during football season, he picked a different kind of athletic endeavor.
When he couldn't play football for, you know, the rest of the season, he decided, hey, Mom, I want to do cheerleading. Are you sure about this? He was like, oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, is there a reason why? He was like, the girls, Mom. I'm like, okay.
Husband JC seems to have his health problems behind him. He's back driving his truck, so the Dorys can relax a little. Just a little.
We were one crisis away, and it was a crisis, and it was difficult, but we made it.
Made it, in part, because of Shanique's steady job, something she hopes each of her GED students will come to count on after they leave her classroom.
You've been working hard.
Courtney Collins, KERA News.
During the Civil Rights Movement, activists would often sing for several hours before heading out to protest, be beaten and arrested, or worse. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked to Baylor University professor Robert Darden about how these songs offered refuge during trying times.
Here you are at a spear point in American history, one of the most important times, 1963, in all of American history if you're an African American. The whole weight of the world is on the other side, and you have marshaled these few thousand people to take it on. And yet you spend most of your time singing. Clearly something is happening that is being accomplished towards your goals. And yes, you're being girded up to go out and do battle again with the water cannons and the dogs. But also when you come back in after being beaten and hit and spat at and called names, the singing was to bring you down so you didn't fight back. Singing was for instruction. It was for the creation of community. It was for the creation of a theology, the religion that God blesses this. You are beloved of God, and God is on our side, and eventually we shall, not right now, but we shall overcome.
We shall overcome one day. We shall overcome one day. We shall overcome the Lord one day. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Robert Darden is author of Nothing But Love and God's Water, Black Sacred Music from the Civil War to the Civil Rights Movement. Think re-airs tonight at 9 or listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. Lord, one day.